Good morning, Rabotai. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chayil. We've been learning the fifth pasuk, specifically discussing a way of life that looks always ahead, that looks at the bigger picture, and not getting stuck in the small roads that get there. One of the most important areas that this mindset applies, if not the most, is the area of chinuch. Chinuch is probably the most important endeavor and most meaningful and long-lasting that we have in this world. If we have the zechut, if we have the merit to have a child, having a child is a big gift. It's not an automatic. If a person has the merit to have a child, then that child comes with a tremendous responsibility, a responsibility that is well known and well felt by the parents. That's not any chidush, at least not in our circles. You have a child, you know, you have a very big responsibility for their success and their future. What comes afterwards is the big question. What is the next step? I feel responsibility for this child and his future. Of course, I know it's not always in my hand. That's obvious. Because every human is born with free choice. And therefore, part of free choice is making decisions. And no matter what I do and how great I am, ultimately, free choice is going to be his or hers. I must recognize that. However, there is no doubt that what I do is going to make a very big difference for these children that I care about very much. There's nothing more that a normal parent wants than seeing their children successful, than seeing their children happy, than seeing their children accomplished. Hashem already, He put that in the creation. It's not something you have to acquire. It's something inborn. That when we have a child, we feel that this child is our responsibility. We feel that their happiness will be our happiness, and so much that sometimes we would put him or her ahead of ourselves. That's the nature of a father and mother, and they don't need to take credit for that because it's not something that they developed. If you care for your children and you care for their future and you feel responsible, while it's all wonderful and beautiful, but all of those feelings are inborn. For the most part, you want to pat yourself on the back for that? You can. But really, it's God-given. What isn't God-given and really needs work is what you're going to do the morning after. Okay, you had a baby. Midnight. Now, you're feeling responsible, you want him to succeed, you want her to become great, you want her to live a life full of hatzlaha in whatever area you consider is success. The question is, what now? That question, believe it or not, is rarely asked. by parents. Almost as if there's some automatic consequence or result that's going to happen since we feel responsible and since we want them to be successful. So there's this feeling that for sure that's what's going to be. Because if I feel responsible and I want them to be successful, so for sure I'm going to do what it takes to get them there. Like, why do I even have to worry about this? Why do I even have to go learn about? How many parents do you know that had a child that frantically went to the bookstore to go buy books to see how to raise a child? So the answer I'll tell you, it's almost zero. Maybe some of them got it as a gift and they have it in somewhere.
On the shelf.
How many people are saying to themselves, wow, I gotta stop everything I'm doing here. I need to take a book. I need to take notes. I need to do hazara review. It's a big deal here. This is my most important mission of life right here. Here it is. The source of my pleasures in the many, many years and for eternity to come. Why is it that nobody's going to buy books? Why is nobody learning up the subject? Simple. Because we think that it's automatic. Again, I feel the responsibility. I know that I want him or her to be super successful. I know what that means. So of course, I'm going to make the decisions along the way that are going to bring the person there. Why not? That's what a person thinks. This is the part that we must focus on. When we have a child, there's something called chinuch. Chinuch isn't a feeling of responsibility that you have to have before. Chinuch is a certain mindset that a parent, a father or mother must have for them to be able to see the results that they wish for. If chinuch isn't part of the mix in how you're approaching your children or grandchildren, whatever it is, then all your responsibility and all your good ideas may be just that, just good ideas. Chinuch is a very unique mindset. The word chinuch in Hebrew is very hard to translate. There is really no word in chinuch in English that could translate the word chinuch. It's not one of those words. If you look in the dictionary, you'll see different words like training someone. Chinuch isn't training. Educating. Chinuch really is not education. Developing skills, chinuch is not that either. Chinuch is something else. There is a mind that has a chinuch outlook. A chinuch outlook needs explanation, and Baruch Hashem, we have a Torah that helps us understand. The Torah says, actually, in the parasha that we just read, pasuk here in Parashat Lech Lecha says, "Vayishma Avram." Avram heard about the war, and he heard that his nephew Lot was taken captive. Ki nishba ahib, referring to Lot. Vayarek et hanichav, and he pushed. The Targum says vezariz, ezirez. He called up the troops. Let's go, we're going. But they're called Hanichav. Doesn't say he called his soldiers, his army, his friends, his community. It says Hanichav. Hinuch, Hanichav. Those who receive Hinuch from him. Says Rashi, Alav HaShalom, if you look in the Torah, even though we read it Hanichav, she says Hanicho Ketiv. Ze Eliezer Shehinecho LaMitzvot. So it says Rashi, we're focused specifically on a man that was the project of Hinuch of Avraham Avinu. His name is Eliezer. Comes Rashi and says, what is this word, Hinuch? You see, one of the things we have in life that we need to constantly catch ourselves and not make the same mistake. There are many, many words that we know their translation, but we don't know what they mean. It's an amazing thing. Guy tells you, you know what chokhmah is? Yes, it's wisdom. You know what wisdom is? Yes, chokhmah. You have any idea what the word wisdom means? No idea. But doesn't it mean to be smart? No. Does it mean to be intelligent? No. It's a good question. But you can walk around your whole life using the word chokhmah, and not once do you actually know what the word means. And such is with many, many words that we don't really understand what they mean. We have some roundabout explanation, but not really understanding it. Chokhmah is for a different day. I'm not discussing that today. So here, Rashi, Alav HaShalom, helps us. Not only helps us understand the word, but helps understand how to think. Someone tells you, what does the word hinuch mean? What does that mean? Everyone knows what hinuch is. Doesn't it have to do with like raising children? Yeah, but what does it mean? What does the word actually mean? It says Rashi Alav HaShalom, Vehu Lashon. This language of hinuch, says Rashi, it means as follows. Hathalat kenisat ha'adam, meaning it's the beginning of a person entering, o keli le'umanut, doesn't have to be in Adam, it could be a vessel, it could be a house. The beginning of a person, the beginning of a vessel, the beginning of a house. So Hinuch has to do with beginnings. That's what you learned so far. Shehu Atid. So it has to do with beginnings. But it also has to do with Shehu Atid, that he, in the future, La'amod ba. So we have the word hathala, beginning. We have the word atid, future. And we have the word la'amod, to stand. These are very important words. Three important words. if you want to know what the word chinuch means. If you're starting chinuch when the kid's 20, so then that's it. I don't want to say you're done, because it's never done, because it's always a beginning to something. 20 is also the beginning of 21, and 22, and 23. But you're 20 years late, because you didn't start at the beginning. So chinuch begins in the beginning. Beginning meaning when they're born. The second word is atid. That even though you're getting involved in the very, very beginning, but your head is always thinking about the future, which we'll explain what that means in a second. And the third one is la'amod. La'amod means to stand, like it says in Perkei Avot, the ha'amidu talmidim harbe. The great Anshe Knesset HaGdolah, they gave Am Yisrael three important pieces of instruction. One of them is Ha'amidu Talmidim Harbe, which means have a lot of students. But they use the word Ha'amidu, which means put them on their feet. What does it mean to put someone on his feet? It means that your goal is that the person should have full independence and could stand on their own feet without you.
Yeah.
You don't own this child. You have to know that day one. Even though you get Mabruks, they tell you Mabruk, oh, wow, you have a kid. How many kids do you have? After a while, you might think that these kids belong to you. So the first thing you have to know when you start chinuch is that these kids aren't yours. It's going to be a very big help. This is a critical nekuda. Dear father, dear mother, you do not own your son or daughter. They're not yours. They don't belong to you. Has very many implications in the way you deal with them when you know you don't own them. They're not always going to be connected to you like they are when they come into your home. And they're not meant to be. The goal, chinuch, is la'amod. La'amod means they need to be able, through your guidance and your chinuch, to stand on their own without you. It's very nice if they talk to you and they come over and you have a nice family barbecue and they come for Shabbat dinner and they stay by you and you help them and they help you. It's all beautiful. It's all nice and enjoyable, and Be'ezrat Hashem, you always have them together. But in reality, your goal has to be that they can exist without your help. That needs to be your goal. That your hand that's holding them is going to have to let go, and they're going to be able to stand on their own with power. Whether it be in religion, whether it be in the way they behave, whether it be in business, whether it be in their responsibilities, whatever it might be, whether it be in their happiness. They don't need you for their happiness. They need to be able to be happy on their own. La'amod. That's why the Mishnah says, Ha'amidu talmidim harbe. Don't teach students. Don't give them knowledge. That's not enough. Ha'amidu. Make sure you teach them in a way that they're going to be able to stand on their own. This is a very hard subject. It's very hard. I'm not even saying about it's hard to let go of your kids. Forget that now. I'm saying much deeper. I'm saying that when you start to begin with, you must realize that they don't belong to you. When you realize they don't belong to you, believe it or not, your approach in how to deal with them will be much different. So one more time. Let's review. Chinuch, Rashi says, is starting a person from the beginning on a road that in their future they're going to be able to stand on their own.
Independent.
That needs to be the mindset of a father and mother the day the child is born. What do I need to do as a start for that great future? Now, obviously, I will never succeed the way I should if I don't know what I want for their future. That's obvious. I have to be very clear what it is that I'm looking for. What is the atid? How can I put them on the road to stand on their own in the future if I don't even know clearly what I want them to be? Now, of course, you ask a father, mother, what do you want from your kids? I want them to be good. What does that mean? What's good? What does good mean? Could you explain me good? What exactly do you want to see in them in 10 years, in 20 years? The word good is one of those words, again, that's just a cover-up for ignorance. I want them to be successful. Really? And what? What? Money? Is that what it's all about? Fine. It's all you want? You just want them to have money? No, I want more than that. What do you want? If a person doesn't know what they want in the atid, it's impossible to get the ship there. So that means one of the important things a father and mother need to do, I know it sounds like schoolish a little, like you're going back to school, but what can I tell you? That's the way it is. If a person really wants to succeed and make the proper effort, they got to do it. Got to sit down. The 10 minutes, not long. It's not like things you don't know, but you have to be clear. What do you want from this person in 20 years? What do you think is good for them? Oh, okay, let me start writing. I want them to be patient. Because I know patience is very important, because I know I'm not so patient, and it's hurting me every day. Okay. So I need them to be patient. I need them to be positive. Because I know negative feelings and negative people don't get anywhere in life. Okay, it needs to be positive. I need them to see the good in others. Because I know people who see the negative in others can't have real friends and can't have real happiness. So I need them to see the good in others. I need them to be able to control themselves. Because sometimes in life I know it's hard to stop doing something and I can't control myself. I need them to have that control. Then you start. I need them to be able to open a Gemara and learn on their own so that they'll be able to have the independence of being able to grow their wisdom without having to need someone that has to teach them. Wow, really, I want an independent learner. Now, to get to that point, a lot of things you got to do. You got to give him the tools. You got to give him the ratzon, the desire to do it. You got to give him a lot of things. You got to itemize everything. You might write down 100 things. Again, you don't have to be a great rabbi to do this. Every person has their own struggles, knows exactly what they wish their children didn't go through. How many times a person says, you know, when I grew up, I struggled. I didn't make a dollar. I was pedaling on the train. I struggle to make a dollar. I struggle to make money. My kids, they won't have to go through what I went through. Okay, I'm not sure if it's a good thing, but let's take that mindset. There are many things in our current lives or things that we experience that we say, oh, I wish my son doesn't have this problem. I wish my son could be more patient. I wish he wouldn't get as angry as I do or as angry as she does. Many, many things that you learn from life experience. And when you think about your children, you're usually very honest. When a person thinks about themselves, they have a lot of ways to explain what they do in a positive way. But when it comes to our children, we usually have much more honesty. That's why someone once told me, great line. He said, whenever you have to make a great decision in your life, make believe you're deciding this for your son or daughter. He says, then you'll have a lot more clarity for yourself. So chinuch requires a list of the future. It's like taking all the things that you want and you put it away in a time machine and you lock it up, and in 20 years you open up the paper and you say to yourself, okay, did I get there? Why, he's angry. No, that was no good. That's what, irresponsible. Of course, it's not what you want. Probably if you have the paper stored away, you have a much better shot of getting there. That's number one. Again, I know probably you're not going to do it. Okay, listen. The job is to at least awaken. And even if you don't do it with a paper, but at least a little bit of thinking about the important things in detail. That's called chinuch. That starts with atid. So combine that with, it's not my child. I don't own them. If I don't own them, why are they here? They're here for one reason. So you can help them become the person on the list. That's the only connection you have to your children. There's no other connections. They're God's children that were placed in your home. And your only connection to them is that piece of paper. You have no other connection. You have to know that. That is your connection to your children. The piece of paper that you wrote down. And if you didn't write that piece of paper or have no idea what it is, then your connection is very, very weak. Your connection is lunch and dinner and celebrating bar mitzvahs with them and celebrating their smachot. It's a weak connection. The connection to your children is that piece of paper, because that's why they were given to you. And even the meals you make for them, and even the money you give them, and even the home that you put them in, has very much to do with that piece of paper. It's all part of the process to get to that pay. Even the party you make for the smachot is also part of the paper. Everything about your connection to them really has to do with that paper. Nothing, there's nothing like I'm just doing it because they're my kids. That's not like that. Everything, if you're in that chinuch mindset, everything becomes part of the paper. For example, when you're going shopping with them, you're thinking about the paper. Someone says, why are you going shopping with your kids? What do you mean? Because they need clothes. No, wait. The shopping experience is greater than just buying them a shirt. It's how you buy the shirt. It's what your expressions are when you're dealing with somebody in the store. It's your frustration when you don't find what you want. What's your reaction? When you don't get the price that you're looking for, what do you do? What do you say? The experience of buying a shirt, when you have the paper, becomes an experience of chinuch. You're not merely going to buy them a skirt. You're going to give them a way to stand in life. how to deal with people, how to deal with things that frustrate people, how to be careful with money, even if you have a lot of money, how to be careful with spending. Is this worth it? You know what that is? For a mother that has money and in front of her daughter says, is this worth the $200? Just that word alone gives them a value that we don't just spend money. We think about if something is worth it, because God gave us money and we have to be responsible. So all of a sudden, that trip to the store becomes a chinuch trip with the paper that you filled out, le'atit. All of a sudden, your experiences in shopping, your experiences in the kitchen, your experiences in any area become part of that purpose. The connection we have to our children is in that paper. And everything that we do for them, with them, ultimately has what to do with that paper. Very important. Simple. Chinuch. Beginning towards the atif in order to stand. With that mindset, everything becomes chinuch. The way you come home Friday night from shul on a freezing night. It's freezing. You walk into the house. What are your expressions? You see, if it's a freezing night and you walk in home in the house, you say, ah, you're so lucky we have heating. Baruch Hashem, you're so fortunate. Or you come and saying, I hate this cold. Hate this cold. Tired of being here. How can we move somewhere else? Now, are you going to do A or B? Well, if you're thinking of the paper, if you want your children to be positive and to see the good things in life, right away you know, I can't do that. Even if you want to do that, but I can, because these people that I care about are going to be affected by this. So I have to come in and be excited, even if I'm not personally excited, but I got to learn how to be excited about the heating system in my house. What happens when we have a frustrating moment? We voted for a mayor and it didn't work. So now what do? So you go into your home and you sit down on the floor like it's a Shabbat Av, and you have this helpless type of feeling that we're just losers on our way to destruction, and that's the sense that you bring into your home. Not sure if that's going to be putting the paper to the student. Not the way. Your attitude towards failure and your attitude towards success and the way you come into the home and greet people on day one. The way you say Birkat HaMazon. The way you spend your time in your home. You have 5, 10 minutes, half hour. What are you doing with that time? Everything starts to become chinuch when you have the proper definition clear. Everything. Shopping, working, vacationing. Go on vacation. Why are they taking kids on vacation? Because they're my kids. Oh, they're not your kids. They're not your kids. So why are you taking them on vacation? Because there's chinuch on this vacation. How do we spend time if we want to take a break? And all the different things that you can actually get from a few days off. Abbot's asking, we see people that are wonderful people, behave in all the right ways, and yet their children are not such quality. So first of all, with all the respect for every person, you do not know about a person until you're alone with them in their home. So all the wonderful people that you might think are very, very happy and complimentary and calm and all the beautiful things, you do not know them. You do not know. While we don't judge people negatively, at the same time, we can't ask questions based on their attitude outside being a fact. Who says that they are that way in their home? Good? That's number one. And number two is, I told you in the beginning, even if you're the best parent, there is something called free choice. And the kid may decide to do everything opposite. It's not the norm. Normally, when a person is raised well, they would want to do all the right things. So that should be like a very, very small exception. But it does happen. What Jack was referring to is a beautiful story that I don't know how literal the story could be taken because it may have other factors. But the idea behind the story is very, very powerful. There was a great man that lived in New York, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Alav HaShalom. And he once had a meeting in his home with Gedolei Israel, all the great rabbis, had a meeting. And they all sitting around the dining room table in this important meeting. And during the meeting, the rabbi's grandson, little kid, a 3-year-old, is jumping on the table. The table the rabbis are all sitting on. So the grandson is on the table doing whatever a 3-year-old does on a table. And noticeably, they saw that the grandpa ignored it. He didn't do anything. Again, I wasn't there. I don't know exactly what happened. Bottom line, they saw a certain lack of chinuch by the grandpa, Rabbi Kamenetsky. It was surprising to let a 3-year-old on the table on the old meeting around. So is the respect, the kavod. So they asked him to understand, so they could learn. What's going on here? Is their grandson's on the table. And he didn't do anything. He says, well, I have a mitzvah of chinuch. Chinuch means making sure that when they're 13, when they're 18, they're going to be able to stand on their feet for all the right things. He says, I guarantee you my 13-year-old is never going to jump on a table. So this is not part of chinuch. This is not part of my obligation to, it may be annoying to me that he's on the table. It may be annoying to you who's on the table. But regarding his future, this experience of being on the table is definitely not part of what he is going to become. And therefore, it's not included in the mitzvah of chinuch. One might say, but maybe disrespecting people is he called disrespecting people? I don't want to get into the details of the story. It's not important. What is important is this outlook that things that are not on the paper and will not affect the paper are not included in chinuch. If your son is on the table playing and he's bothering you and you want to take him down, that's for you. It's not for him. Because for him, It's not part of what he will become. So that's not Hinuch. Sometimes we mistaken our reactions to Hinuch. But let me tell you something. If you're in this mindset and you already have the future, the standing, the atala, you start to think differently. I'll tell you why. Once you know it's about the future, so what you do automatically, and you need to do automatically, is you start thinking about what they're going to be facing in their life going forward. For example, I'll give you an example. Your four-year-old, her brother, her friend said something, and she's very, very sensitive. He said something and she's crying. Very often you'll see a father and mother say in their hinuf, come on, stop crying already. No big deal. No big deal. What are you crying for? But a mechanech, forget how he reacts now, but understands that this feeling of sensitivity and pain that came from her brother or her friend is going to happen when they're 15 in high school. And it's going to happen when they're 25 and married with the sister-in-law. It's going to happen throughout their life. And you need now to figure out what you need to give them so that they will be able to deal with it. Just telling them it's no big deal doesn't solve their problem. You may solve today's issue because, yeah, the toy was no big deal. But it's not about the toy. It's about their feelings and how they deal with disappointment or deal with things that may be coming to attack them. If you don't give them that tool, so then you're not setting them up for life. So automatically in this mindset, all you're doing as a father and mother is thinking about the different challenges they're going to have when they're older. They're going to have bad friends. You wish that your children will always be around the best friends. But it's not reality. They're going to have bad friends. They're going to have friends. They're going to tell them, come, let's smoke. They're going to have friends say, come on, let's go drinking. They're going to have friends come, let's watch this. They're going to have. You cannot control the people that are going to be in their life. You try the best you can, obviously. But there's always going to be negative influences. You got to know that when they're little and know what you have to give them from now to be able to battle that. For example, let's say a person, and hopefully it should be every person, decided that he's not going to have televisions in his house. No more televisions. They bring something negative into my home. They bring tumah into my home. Out. Getting rid of them. Happens to me this week, someone told me. They took all the television and threw them out. Okay, great. Beautiful. It was a hard step. For someone who's used to it, it's like a hard thing. But if you realize how much negativity comes from that thing, you do it with the beracha. The beracha is the beracha on the future of your children. So anyway, here you are, a person who has no television in his house. Baruch Hashem, your walls are clean. The atmosphere is positive. You don't have all these personalities infecting your home. So you're great. Baruch Hashem, you made a great choice. Hazaku Baruch. But you'd be foolish to think that your children, even though they're very little, that when they're 13 and 14 and 16, they're not going to wonder why my home suffers without screens. What? Now, if they never will see a screen ever in their life, like they have no cousins that have one, and they have no friends that might have one, and they have no uncles or aunts, or they don't walk the streets of Brooklyn, or they don't... So then you're fine. You're good. Don't worry. But anticipate that probably sometime in their future, they're going to be watching people with popcorn and some drinks and maybe also some chicken and poppers. And they're going to be all around in a habura. They're going to create this group that's sitting around the screen with excitement and laughter and high fives and just living it up. And one day your 14-year-old son or 12-year-old son will be walking by this house because the window is wide open, big window to the street, shades are open, and everyone in there is having an awesome time. And he's trying to see what's the source of this great moment in these people's lives. And he sees they're all congregating around, not the Sefer Torah, but around the screen. This kid's going to walk into his house, all right, at that moment. Whether he does something about it or not, at the moment, he has some very bad feelings right there. He feels a terrible feeling, a feeling of missing out. People hate that feeling. I'm missing out. Hazit, my home, we don't do that. Look at these people. I never saw my father high-fiving a guy with popcorn. I wish I had that. Now, they may not say anything to you. They probably won't. But that feeling is a very, very painful feeling. It's like a seed that you plant in their heart, and you never know what grows from that. All of a sudden, one of their friends comes over, suggests, the feeling comes back. Oh, many things may come out of that bad feeling. Many, many things. And whose fault is it? The father will say, I did my job. I can't protect him from anything he sees in his life. He's got to be a man. And he comes home and he asks his father, and he says, Dad, what's going on with the screen that people are congregating around? You say, it's not what we do. Or even a worse answer than that. That's what the rabbi said. Throw the rabbi under the bus. So not only did you throw the rabbi under the bus, but you basically told this kid never to hang out with rabbis. Then you wonder, why is he attracted to these things? Why is he? It's very simple, because you didn't have hathala. You weren't thinking about the atid. You weren't anticipating this obvious moment that's going to happen to him many times in life. He might go to grandma. He might go to aunt. He might go to a friend. He might just see it in the street. Are you seeing the atid? If you saw the atid, so right away from the hathala, you already know what's going to happen. So you plant seeds before they plant seeds. So what do you do? I'll give you an example. But obviously, the television is an example. There's a thousand things that you could think of. And obviously, the example I'm going to give you is an example. But let's say you have a moment and you're walking with your son and you see people all sitting around the television. He sees it, you see it. He's little. He's not thinking now about, wow. You just see. What's your reaction to her? Like, what do you feel about that? You want to make sure that your feelings, which are emet, hopefully you threw out the screen for a reason. Hopefully because you had something that you felt was negative coming out of that screen. Now imagine you would walk with your son, and as you're walking, you'd say, not to him, just to talk. He says, I feel bad for these people. I feel bad they have such a poison in their home. They're wonderful people, but I just feel bad for them.
Which is the truth.
I do. I really do feel bad. I'm not judging them. I'm not saying they're bad people. I just feel bad for them. I do feel bad. I could say it out loud in public. I feel bad for people who have their children grow up with television. I do. Could quote me on that. It's not a disrespect. It's a full of kavod. I love the people. And I don't think they mean anything but well. But I do feel bad for them. Because the reality and the consequences are very clear. If that's his first exposure to such an item that you've planted already. You already planted what it is that they're watching, what it is that they're seeing, and you put in here and there a comment here and there. Not every day, not every once in a while. By the time they're 13, 14, they see that, they already have an opinion. You didn't leave them on their own to guess what's happening here. You did a hathala, you put something in, and that already became their understanding. So they too will understand. Azit the guy. Because he has to watch this. This is one of the examples of how the Atid paper could start the person from the beginning. He starts anticipating. He's going to have this kind of friend. He's going to have this kind of disappointment. He's going to have this kind of challenge. He's going to have this kind of issue. Oh. And as you go, you start planting. You plant the seeds before they plant the seeds. Because if you allow them to plant the seeds, you never know how they're going to plant it. They don't know what they're doing. But if you're planting the seeds, how to understand something, how to react to something, how to be in any... You're way ahead of the game. Atid, Hathala, Amida. Hainuch of the Eshet Hayil is magnificent. She has that paper. The father as well has that paper that they're watching, that they wrote down, and they're on their way to put that child on his own feet to be the matzliach, the happy, successful child that they always wanted from day one. Have a wonderful day.